booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
This is the WABC Early News, and the leading mayoral candidate may be in some hot water with the LGBTQ community. We'll tell you about it in just a minute. I'm Frank Morano.
And I'm Juliet Huddy. That is a wonderful tease, Frank.
Thank you. I'm learning from you. I'm taking notes.
Very nicely done. I'm Juliet Huddy. We are going to be talking with Sid momentarily. Well, he'll be telling us what's going on in the sports world, but he's also going to tell us what's happening on the show today. Big, big guest ahead of a sporting event tomorrow, I believe it is. And I've got some updates of sad news. A very, very young person has died from the music world, and you'll recognize the song, and this like one of the biggest hit songs, so we're going to talk about that. And also some shocking stuff from Janet Jackson's closet. She's got a whole bunch of things going up on auction, and wait till you hear what she's auctioning. It's like, what's she been doing? Wow.
Well, yeah. That's talk about a tease.
Oh, yeah.
All right. At 6:07, it's time for traffic and transit on the sevens. A man who never teases when it comes to the traffic is Joe Nolan. Hello there, Joe.
And Frank, we've got Grand Central Parkway now at Astoria Boulevard right there in Queens, just before you get in the RFK Triborough Bridge. An accident that's in the process of being cleared. Now, this trio of things in New Jersey continues. On 287 southbound at exit 47, there's a collision. Two lanes are out. Northbound up at exit 52, which is Route 23, there's an accident. And an accident investigation. Two lanes, right lanes, are going to be out there. And then westbound on 78 coming into exit 29, which is 287, a collision again. The right lane going to be out of service. They've got problems on the A trains now. Southbound, apparently some signal problems. As a result, there'll be delays through Fulton Street, and alternate side is in effect today. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thanks, Joe. Yep. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, going to be a beautiful day. Sunny, highs in the mid-60s tonight. Gorgeous night, clear, a bit chilly. We'll only get down to or up to about 48 degrees. And on Saturday, 70s and partly sunny skies, looks pretty decent. Unfortunately, the rain comes in on Sunday. We should have pretty much rain throughout the day, intervals between overcast skies and rain, but just, you know, it's essentially going to be a wash. Monday looks pretty nice, though, 67 degrees with sunny skies, and the rest of the week actually looking pretty decent right now. Currently, the temperature is 40 degrees in New York City.
Andrew Yang, the leading Democratic candidate for mayor, is in some hot water, according to a report in today's New York Times. He was speaking to a major New York City Democratic LGBTQ group, and some of them weren't crazy about the way that he talked to them. This is a little bit of the audio that we've captured from this speech Andrew Yang gave.
It's like, well, I love them. Like, I love you. I genuinely do love you and your community. You're so human and beautiful. You make New York City special. I have no idea how we ever lose to the Republicans, given that you all are, frankly, in, like, leadership roles all over the Democratic Party. Like, you know, the chair of the New Hampshire Democratic Party, the chair of the Iowa Democratic Party, are gay. And so I was like, we have, like, this incredible secret weapon. It's not even secret. It's like, we should win everything because we have you all. So just want to say, you know, like, I hope you do have a chance to get to know me and the team better. But I love your community. I'm going to do everything I can to help.
Yang also cited gay members of his staff as apparent evidence of his openness to the club's concerns and expressed enthusiasm about the prospect of visiting Cubbyhole, a storied New York lesbian bar, according to the Times. Some who attended the virtual meeting told the Times that while Yang talked about bringing back the city's Pride March, which was canceled last year for the first time in 50 years due to the pandemic, he didn't address more substantive issues that concern the group. The Times also reported that multiple participants described Yang's remarks as offensive and off-putting, particularly his mention of gay bars.
Really? I don't know. It seemed to me that he was being quite
Has been what I have been saying for the last 3 weeks whenever I'm asked about the mayor's race, which is when you're the front runner and the favorite to win, there is a very different set of standards for you than there is to everybody else. One of the quotes that's being passed around from this Times article is when I see a candidate, this is one of the people that watched this speech, when I see a candidate come in just with Michael Scott levels of cringe and insensitivity, it either tells me Andrew Yang is in over his head or is not listening to his staff. Those are both radioactive flashing signs that say he is not prepared to be mayor of New York.
What was insensitive? Maybe I need to listen to it.
That's why I played the audio rather than just read the quotes. I didn't find it particularly insensitive, but I didn't find many of the previous Andrew Yang gaffes terribly offensive or insensitive either.
Well, you make a great point. When you are at the top, you have a longer way to fall. It's very true. There are different standards. I also wanted to give you some information. There was really shocking data, but I guess not surprising, regarding crime in cities with large Black Lives Matter protests. Listen to this. This research found police shootings dropped 15 to 20% in cities with large Black Lives Matter protests. Murder rates, however, rose 10%. That's an increase of, you know, depending on the city, 1,000 to 6,000 additional homicides. And experts say in the duh category for this morning, it's likely due to a decrease in police enforcement and also just a lack of police being around because of budget cuts.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not a shocker, though.
No. Former New York City schools chancellor Richard Carranza has been hit with a $1,000 fine for taking Hamilton tickets meant for Department of Education workers and using them to take his wife to see the Broadway show. The special tickets cost $10 and were given out to DOE workers in 2019 as part of a partnership with the Education Department. The New York City Conflicts of Interest Board ruled yesterday that Carranza broke city rules when he took the tickets.
Well, what have you done for me lately? Janet Jackson has put hundreds of personal items up for auction. The bigger question is, what has Ms. Jackson been doing lately? Apparently, among the items are spanking crops, a condom machine, and a set of foreplay dice. I have no idea what that is. With Julian's auctions, apparently the money, a percentage of the money is going to be going to Compassion International, which is a child advocacy ministry. Other items include things that you would immediately recognize, you know, some of her clothing from her many, many decades, of singing and performing. Julian's has previously worked with big stars like Barbara Streisand, Lady Gaga, and U2 on these charitable auctions. And iconic treasures from the legendary life and career of Janet Jackson, the auction will take place from May 14th to May 16th.
Russia is pulling troops from the Ukraine border. Russia Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu made the announcement yesterday while overseeing military drills in Crimea. Shoigu said Russia will begin a phased reduction of troops from its border with Ukraine and suggested the troop buildup was a training exercise. The troop reduction diffuses a crisis in the region. In 2014, Russia seized Crimea from Ukraine. Ukraine's president, Vladimir Zelensky, said the troop reduction reduces tension, but that Ukraine is always vigilant. A NATO official told Reuters that de-escalation by Russia is, quote, well overdue.
Well, in much different news. I don't know. Were you ever a fan of the Bay City Rollers?
Oh, I love them.
You do?
Sean Cassidy was with the Bay City Rollers.
I played one of their songs.
David Cassidy's brother.
I don't remember.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Wow. Yeah. Well, the front man.
They had that one famous song.
Saturday Night.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y.
Night. Yeah, Saturday Night. Yeah, so anyway, the Bay City Rollers front man, Les McEwen, has passed away. He was only 65 years old, and the star's family and the fans who have been following the career of the Bay City Rollers guys are completely shocked, apparently. It was a very sudden, unexpected death. And you remember that they were from Scotland, I think Edinburgh, if I'm not mistaken. And they would be, you know, they would wear tartan. They sold 100 million records. And obviously, yes, that song Saturday Night was their big one over here, but they had huge hits over in the UK. So I don't know. I'm curious to find out a little bit more information about this, because apparently the family was just blown away. They could not believe that this happened. So I'll keep you updated on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, fortunately, there are no reports of death in Sid Rosenberg's sportscast this morning. Isn't that right, Sid?
Well, the Mets just died in Chicago. But we'll start with the Yankees. The good news first, it is Friday. Yankees have been playing terrible baseball, but they started their four-game set in Cleveland yesterday on the right foot. You know, 2 days ago, Yankee skipper Aaron Boone gave it to Gleyber Torres. He did not run out of ground ball late in that game 2 days ago, the loss to the Braves. Gleyber responded with three hits yesterday. Domingo Herman earned his first win in nearly 2 years. And despite falling behind 3-0 to the Indians in the first inning, the Yankees go on to win it by a final score of 6-3. In fact, here is their skipper, Aaron Boone, after the game.
A lot of good things happened from there, and proud of the guys for not, you know, because that first inning with what we've been going through, they didn't let it snowball and really did a lot of good things the rest of the way.
Yankees improved to 7-11. They'll play game two of that four-game set in Cleveland later on tonight. Metsies, yes, they get swept in Chicago. Cubs are pretty good. Beat the Mets yesterday 4-3 in 10 innings. Edwin Diaz giving up the game-winning run in the 10th. Pete Alonso did hit his fourth home run of the year in the losing cause. The Mets now find themselves at 7-7, back to .500. And they start a three-game set in Queens later on tonight against the Washington Nationals. Hockey last night at the Garden, the Rangers, another bad loss, 3-2 to the Flyers. Couple that with a 5-1 Boston Bruin win over the Sabres, and the Rangers are now 8 points behind Boston for the last playoff spot inside the Eastern Division. In other words, it's just about over for the Rangers. Islanders, different story. They did lose last night 1-0 to Washington, but they're tied with the Pittsburgh Penguins, just 1 point behind Washington for second place inside the Eastern Division. And next week, it is the NFL draft. The Giants pick number 11. Their GM Dave Gettleman talked yesterday. The Jets pick number 2. And the thought is, after trading away their quarterback Sam Darnold to Carolina, they'll take BYU quarterback Zach Wilson with the second pick. Either way, here's new Jet head coach Robert Sella on taking a quarterback early on.
I don't think there's risk, you know, having a good football team and building a good roster around everybody. I mean, it's there's players here that are talented. There's rookies that are going to be coming in that are talented. And the expectation is that they're one of 53 when it's all said and done. And they've all got to perform their best to create a great football team.
We will cover the NFL draft in great depth next Friday on Bernie and Sid. Big UFC night tomorrow night in Jacksonville. Talking about Bernie and Sid, Dana White will stop by later on today. With sports at 15:45. For the WABC Early News, I'm Sid Rosenberg.
617, Joe Nolan has all the traffic and transit you need to know.
287 southbound, exit 47. Two lanes remain out with that collision. If you're northbound on 287 at exit 52 up by Route 23, an accident there as well. The two right lanes are out. That also still being investigated by the New Jersey State Police. Westbound 78 at exit 29, 287. That one is gone. Inbound Grand Central at Astoria Boulevard. We still have that collision. Then some subway issues now, some signal problems. And there are delays on the A trains and then also on the E and the F. And alternate side of the street parking rules are in effect. This report of service of America's best contacts and eyeglasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. That's not just a better deal. It's America's best. Book your exam online today in certain states. Eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologists. See store for details. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right. Thanks, Joe. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. It is going to be a nice day today, mid-60s, lots of sun, light winds. Tonight, beautiful, clear skies, a little chilly, 48 degrees. Saturday looks pretty nice, too, 71 degrees with partly sunny skies. Sunday, the rain comes in, should be pretty rainy throughout the day. Monday, though, we see lots of sun and a high in the upper 60s, low 70s, which sounds pretty nice. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 40 degrees. What's up in business, Frank?
Well, stock market was down yesterday. The Dow Jones closed down 321 points. The S&P 500 lost 38 points, and the NASDAQ fell 131 points. New York City's vacant office space is nearing unprecedented levels. With companies continuing to work from home, office vacancy in Manhattan has passed 16%, its highest percentage since 1994. Global real estate services firm Cushman & Wakefield expect the number of vacant buildings to keep rising in the coming months. While vacancies continue to pile up, the asking price for rent will be driven down substantially, Juliet.
All right. Well, very quickly before we get into Sid's update on what's happening on the show today. I just wanted to talk about this, Sid, because I know that you're going to be interested and you probably have some commentary. If you're an Olympic athlete, you better really rethink your actions this summer, because according to the IOC rule number 50, which forbids demonstration or political, religious, or racial propaganda, if you take a knee for the Black Lives Matter movement, you will be banned.
Love it.
At the Tokyo Olympics.
Oh, love it.
Banned. And, that's, I don't think that they could say it much clearer.
No, they can't. And, I'm glad to hear that's the case. I wish that was, you know, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, New York, and not Tokyo, but we'll take it. especially off of the heels, Juliet, of LeBron James, and he is still getting savaged everywhere. Former President Trump had his thoughts on James yesterday. I certainly had mine on Twitter. I went after him pretty hard. We'll have Judge Jeanine on the show today, Juliet and Frank. And listen, there may be some legal ramifications. I don't know. I mean, the NBA should really consider suspending LeBron James. They won't do it because the commissioner, Adam Silver, is such a coward, but they should. And look, when you go out there and you tweet like that, that is a legitimate threat. When you've got 50 million followers and you tweet something that hateful, that is a legitimate threat for that cop in Ohio. So who knows? Maybe Judge Jeanine couldn't put him in jail.
He had taken it down, he said, because it was misconstrued. But I agree with you, because when you have a platform like a LeBron James, or like a president, or like a lawmaker, you have to be careful, and the words matter, and things like that can be mistaken, and there are a lot of crazy people out there that will go, oh, I love LeBron James, let me go kill a cop now. I mean, it's horrible, and people need to be a lot more responsible, especially if you have a platform like they do.
You are 100% right, and it wasn't misconstrued. He said what he said. You're next, accountability. There's nothing to misconstrue. This is not, we have to interpret three words. He took it down, and he said, I need to get more information. And I would advise LeBron James and others to continue to do that, because he has made a history, since really Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump, of tweeting and yelling and screaming without any information. And he's done it again just a couple of days ago.
Well, it's good to see, though, at least Twitter respected his free speech enough not to ban him or anything like that.
Right, of course not.
Suspend him.
Right.
What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show?
Well, we're going to talk to Judge Jeanine about that. And a big, big fight night in Jacksonville coming up tomorrow.
Oh, Jayville.
Yes, this is Bernie loves this stuff. I like it. I like it. I really like Dana White. I like the personality. I like him. I'm never going to spend one penny on a UFC fight the rest of my life. I can promise you that. And even when it's free, I don't really run to the TV to watch it. And here in New York, I don't think it's got that type of juice. But certainly around the country, it's doing very well. People love Dana White. Big fight night tomorrow night. And we'll have Dana on 9:25 live from Jacksonville, Florida. Which is, I don't believe, is on the Jet Set Juliet docket today.
Not true. My first big job in television news was at the Fox Jacksonville station.
Is that right?
As a matter of fact, yes. Yes, WAWS. I had a wonderful experience there. Yeah, and that's where I was working there when I was plucked from the station to go to the Miami Bureau for Fox News.
Hmm.
So I have a lot of fond memories of Jacksonville.
I didn't know that.
Ragtime. It was a great little restaurant bar down there in the by the water. Beautiful.
Sid, now that you are a Hollywood star, Oscars this weekend. I know you are a big, big fan of the film Promising Young Woman. Do you see that actress winning an Oscar this Sunday?
She could win. She was that good.
I love her.
Oh, what is her name again?
Carey Mulligan.
Yes.
She is my favorite actress, maybe of all time.
Wow.
I think she's phenomenal.
Of all time?
Yeah.
Now that,
you know,
that's
what?
Big.
I have to tell you, she's a great actress, but she also has this beautiful speaking voice, and it's like I'm mesmerized every time I watch her. It's like she steals every moment on screen.
You think she's a better actress than Ally Sheedy? Just kidding. I loved her. I thought she was great. She could win. We were going to have Lauren Conlon, our good friend, on today for the Oscars, but really with zero remorse, they axed her today, the producers of the show.
Why?
Well, they thought with Judge Jeanine and Dana White, it was going to be too busy. That would mean four consecutive guests when you add Lydia. So she'll come on Monday, and she'll give us an Oscars recap. I've only seen two of the movies. I saw the movie you just mentioned, Frank and Juliet.
Promising Young Woman.
Great movie, great. And I really enjoyed that Denzel Washington movie. Little Things with Jared Leto and Rami Malek. That is also a very fine movie. Very fun.
They're saying the favorite is Nomadland. And Juliet, you didn't see many of the films this
year.
I
have seen nothing. I haven't even seen Promising Young Woman yet.
Oh, it's your favorite actress? You got to see it.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've just been kind of putting it off until we find an evening where we can just be sitting around.
Let me tell you, forget about whether she's your favorite actress or not. The movie is intense.
I was very skeptical at given Sid's review. I thought he was hyping it up a little too much.
What are you talking about?
I'm
an actor.
Exactly.
Oh my God! Here we go.
I read the summary, and I thought, okay, this is just going to be a typical, Me Too revenge story. I was blown away by this film.
Right?
Sid is absolutely right. The acting is great. The story is also so unpredictable. It's really, really well done.
I got to say this. I'm glad you said that, Frank. The ending of that movie, I don't remember the last time I was that shocked.
Oh,
watching a movie.
This is amazing.
I concur.
Right, there you have it, folks.
So, some news on the political front. I'm sure you'll get into this throughout the show. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin is making waves today, announcing that he's endorsing Republican colleague and friend Senator Susan Collins of Maine Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska for reelection. She's in a tough, tough election next year, and a lot of the Trump folks aren't pleased with her, and we'll see if this carries her over the finish line.
One very quick thing about Carrie Mulligan, who is the star of Promising Young Things. Is that Promising Young Woman?
Right.
She was in a show, I think it's on Netflix, called Collateral, that I recommend. It was just, you could really see, she's so natural. She's such an incredible actress. I absolutely love her. She rivals Meryl Streep, I have to say.
Yeah, I don't know her from anything other than this film, but I am now a fan after just seeing her in this film.
And she's married to the lead singer of that band Mumford & Sons, Marcus Mumford.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I mean, that doesn't do anything for my appreciation of her acting talent.
Well, it sort of gives you more color.
That does. Yes. That it does. All right, Juliet, I hope you have a delightful weekend.
Thank you, Dara. You too.
And I will look forward to seeing you on Monday.
I will see you on Monday. And we are going to head to traffic on the 7s with Joseph Nolan. Have a great weekend, Joe.